This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. 3 minutes after 9 o'clock on this Saturday morning, and it's time now for WSMI Sports Saturday, brought to you today by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steering, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing in Litchfield. DC Waste and Recycling in Hillsboro. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Huffinson's Funeral Homes. CTI Computers. Hillsboro Area Hospital. And by Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. And in studio, here's WSMI's Tim Mize, along with Kyle Herschelman. K. Hirsch, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, T-Toad. Welcome to Sports Saturday. Big show. Obviously, we got Kyle in studio. We're going to be talking about the individual wrestling sectionals that are going on today. They have actually just begun this morning. They started at 9 o'clock. We're going to talk to Dave Kane around 9:30 about the boys' basketball pairings that were released yesterday. And then we're also going to catch up with Hillsboro Hilltopper head coach Brett Teakin as his Lady Tompers will play Pleasant Plains on Monday in the sectionals. The game will have live at 6 here on FM 106 and online at WSMIRadio.com. And Karish, before we get into the wrestling, that was a fun atmosphere in Piasau on Thursday night.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. You know, just the back and forth of the game. And you really expected them Southwestern to put up a good game, especially at home, and they're a really tough team, and they were peaking at the right time. But the fourth quarter was something else for Hillsboro.
Yeah, 20-2.
Yeah,
they outscored them.
Yeah, and you know, it was one of those things that you didn't kind of even realize that it was happening until it was almost over. You know, they held them scoreless for almost 6 minutes. By then, unfortunately for Southwestern, the game was pretty much in Hillsboro's hands.
So we'll see what Hillsboro can do against Pleasant Plains come Monday night. Three state-ranked teams at that sectional in Hillsboro. That's going to be dynamic.
Yeah, and you know, Porta's a really good team, too, as Hillsboro knows from the Riverton tournament, too. So it should be a fun atmosphere there, too. Hillsboro girls have drawn really well this year, and I'm sure the other three teams will bring a bunch. You know, I know Greenville's, you know, they've had an awful special season, so I think they'll be ready too.
They're returning to the scene of the crime, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
The side of their only loss, and the Port again. That's the game where Kylie Meyer hit the three at the buzzer to win it, right?
Yeah, that's correct. So you know, I mean, they were only a whisker away from beating Hillsboro on that, and like I said, it's going to be an interesting one. At this point in the season, you know, everybody's pretty good, so it'll be, and you know, it's a good dynamic with two teams from kind of the northern, you know, or around the Springfield area, and then two teams from down here in the South Central. So
we've gotten used to South Central Sangamo matchups in the football playoffs, so now we have a sectional with two South Central Sangamo semifinals, so it should be a lot of fun. And if we could get Hillsboro Greenville for the sectional final, they'll have to turn people away.
Yeah, it'll be a really nice atmosphere. I'm sure they'll be packed to the rafters, and it should be a lot of fun. And I'm not going to complain that it's only about three blocks from my house.
That works out nice.
Yeah, I can handle that.
We'll get more into that ball game as the hour moves along here on Sports Saturday. But Karish, we want to talk now about wrestling as the individual sectionals began yesterday. They continue this morning. And at the 1A Carterville sectional, we have a lot of local flavor. And we'll start at 138 pounds with Jake Heffley.
Yeah, Jake's got picked up a win yesterday in the quarterfinals and has done really well this season. He became the latest member of the 100-win club for Hillsboro, first since about 2009 with Zach Hopwood. But he has a kid that's ranked number one in Ezra Elliott from Hoopston area. But, you know, Jake's got the talent to do it. And even if he doesn't win in the semifinals, he'll go back to the wrestlebacks. He'll be in the quarterfinal wrestlebacks. So he'll still need to win one more or two more matches, I think. It might even be in the semifinals of the wrestlebacks. As we were discussing earlier, the brackets are a little confusing to novices like us.
Yeah. But, I look at it, it's like, huh? What? I see names and lines, but I don't know where they're going.
Eventually, we'll just wait till the end and see how it goes. But
that's the easiest thing to do.
The nice thing about sectionals is if Jake, I mean, regardless, if he makes it to the first place match or if he can make it to the third place match, the Consolation Championship, he'll go to state regardless of the outcome. It used to be they would only take the first three, which added some drama to the third place match. But now they take, the top four, advance on to state. So if he can make it to the third place match, he's guaranteed a spot at state for the first time.
And he's had a remarkable senior season. As I was getting the results from Garrett Young throughout the year, I don't remember him losing very many matches at all.
No, he only has, I want to say, two or three on the season. He's had a really good career. He's had some injuries, along the way. He's 31-4 this year.
That works.
So yeah, that's a pretty good record for him. And just, he's one of the few 4-year wrestlers that Hillsboro has. And he's done a really good job at the program. So.
And the Hillsboro team as a whole, I think they finished third at the regional, but they just seemed to get better as the year went on.
They did. And I think their previous coach, Jake Petrie, did a good job. He was a really knowledgeable guy. What was hurting him was that he didn't have that connection year round with the kids. Whereas Garrett Young, this year's coach, he knew a lot of the kids from football. He's been around them a little bit more, was able to, kind of get some guys out that hadn't wrestled before. And I think it's really shown. I think it's been really a lot of enthusiasm behind the program. And I think it's paid off. You see, like I said, they got third at a really tough regional. They've put up some good performances in some of the tournaments. I think it's a good thing for the Hillsboro wrestling program.
Talking to Jordan Gregg a couple times over the last few weeks, he's mentioned to me, I love basketball, but man, I miss wrestling.
Yeah. Jordan's one of those kids that I think if he could play every sport,
He would do it.
And would probably be pretty good. I don't know what kind of golfer he is, but I watched him in wrestling make it to state, his sophomore year. I know in junior high, he was a state level, thrower in track. He's a two-time, all conference in baseball, four-time all conference in football. And he just signed to play football for Lindenwood University.
Right.
Very
exciting. Yeah, I could see him picking up a golf club for the first time, getting a hole in one. What, this game's hard?
Exactly.
I was told this game was hard. I don't see it.
It's like you said, Garrett's loss on the wrestling mats is probably Joey's gain on the basketball court too.
Yeah,
so
certainly,
But it, like I said, it's Hillsboro's had a really nice season. It's nice to see the program kind of rejuvenated. So
good luck to Jake Heffley today at 138 pounds against the number one ranked wrestler Ezra Elliott of Hoopston. Now Litchfield, they have a couple of wrestlers in the semifinals today. Will Carlisle at 120, Jefferson Thomas at 220. Tell us a little bit about them.
Yeah, and Will's had a really good year too. He's actually wrestled this guy before at 120 pounds at the Litchfield tournament just a few weeks ago. He defeated him by a disqualification.
That's Ryder Parson of Pinckneyville.
Yeah, who was an honorable mention on the Illinois Wrestling Coaches Association rankings, which, rankings are rankings. But
you love rankings.
I you know me. I'm a huge fan of rankings and polls. Not really. But no, like I said, Will's had a good season, 36-3 overall. Parson will be he's a good wrestler, if he can keep his head on. Will is a strong kid. Grew up, his dad wrestled at Mount Olive and then at, I believe, Illinois State. So, like I said, Will's got a shot to do some really good things. He went to state last year, too, as a freshman. So it could be a good day for him. And then Jefferson Thomas, he's got a tough kid, and Nolan Schmidt of Althoff, who I believe may have defeated him earlier in the season. Like I said, Jefferson had some injury problems, but he's a big physical kid. You know, he works hard and in his matches. And I think he, you know, at this point, you know, to win two matches at sectionals is a pretty good start. So I think he could do well. Altoff's a good school. They have a good wrestling program right now. They've had several state champions over the last few years. So. It'll be interesting for sure. So,
as you looked at Litchfield season as a whole, how would you assess it?
I think that you can't look at their season as wins and losses. At this point, they just don't have the manpower to put a dual team together. But I guarantee you, if you take the individual, you know, results, you know, they have guys like Carlisle, like Jefferson Thomas, like Carter Powell, like Brady Davidson. All these guys put up just stellar numbers as far as wins and losses during the season. It's just that they don't have the horses to do it. I mean, whenever you're giving up 7, 8, 10, you know, forfeits and weight classes, that's 50 to 60 points there.
Not to compare wrestling and golf, because you couldn't have two sports at more the opposite ends. But I guess the concept is kind of the same. Great individuals at the top, but like the Hillsborough golf team. The Alexes were fantastic.
Sure.
But the rest of the golfers are what allowed them to get to state and compete.
Yeah, and that's a good call on that. And the other thing about it is, you know, it's actually what they're doing is even more impressive because, you know, you win matches in the training room. It's like that's where you get it. So having reduced numbers on there, that limits the amount of things that they can do in practice too. So I think Chance and Coy Davidson, who are coaching this year, have done a really good job. You can tell they really connect with the kids. I mean, granted, they're related to one of them, but yeah. You know, I think there's some challenges, with the program, you know, just due to numbers. But I think if they can stick with it and I think they'll have a good run. So there, I know they're putting some work in with the, youth program too. So
Kyle Hirschman with the Journal News in with us this morning in studio to talk about high school wrestling sectionals. We need to get to a break on Sports Saturday. We're back with more with Kay Hirsch following these messages.
WSMI Sports Saturday rolls on. Back to WSMI's Tim Mize and our special guest, Kay Hirsch, Kyle Hirschman.
Terry Tope, thank you so much. Back here on Sports Saturday talking with Kay Hirsch about the high school wrestling postseason. And Kyle, you just mentioned, of course, Ron Ryan wrapping up his 50th year as Mount Olive head coach, and he will go out in style.
Yeah, he's going to be one of the grand marshals for the grand march at the state tournament. So a great honor for him, and that's by far the coolest of the state tournaments that I've seen. Just or as in terms of pomp and circumstance, yeah. And they really do a great job. Shut off all the lights. There's beach balls and it's kind of like a concert, rock concert atmosphere. So
I've heard that before, that that ceremony is as good as it gets for the state of Illinois.
Yeah, it's you know, it sets the bar pretty high in terms of celebrating student athletes. So it's like I said, it's a little bit like a, you know, like a rock concert or a big UFC fighter or something like that. And you see all the coolest thing is you see all these, wrestling coaches and, you know, a lot of them you've never seen in anything, but, you know, sweatpants and that they're all, you know, dressed to the nines with, you know, suits and everything. So, it's pretty cool, you know, it's a neat moment. You know, also like, you know, I know, whenever Coy was wrestling, his dad walked out with him to the for the grand march, which is a pretty cool moment too.
Also wrestling in his semifinal today at 170 pounds is Carlinville's Tristan Burns. He will take on Connor Eaton of West Frankfort. So good luck to Tristan at 170 pounds. And then for Auburn, Cam Lee, of course, the former Litchfield kid, he is in to the semifinals at 138 pounds. He will face Ilian Barnett of Farmington. And you talk about a wrestling pedigree Cam has.
Yeah, Cam's done extremely well his entire career. I've watched him for the last 10 years. You know, whenever he was like a third grader, he was whooping up on the Litchfield 106-pounder in practice. So
that makes 106-pounder feel good.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, Cam's grown up around the sport, and you know, with his dad being the former coach at Litchfield, now at Warrensburg Latham. But Cam's 43-4 this season, going to go on to wrestle somewhere in college. I don't think he's quite nailed it down quite yet. But Auburn's been a good fit for him. He knows a lot of those kids. His godfather is the head coach there. But they're tearing it up too. They got 6 guys through to the semifinals. So
6 out of 7, that's a pretty good percentage.
That you're not messing around on that. So they've done really well this season. But you know, like I said, I miss watching Cam, you know, but as I said on Twitter, he's ours. So, you know,
we can borrow him, right?
You can have him for this 1 year, but he's still, we're claiming him we had him the longest.
That's
so.
Right. It's like Albert Pujols with the Angels.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's always going to be a Cardinal.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, feel free to use him, you know, borrow him and enjoy the fact that he's having success at Auburn. You can have him too. It just don't forget, you know.
So Cam Lee at 138 today. Also in the semifinals for Auburn, Gage Lopez at 106, Charlie Patterson at 145, Gervasio Marchisa at 170, Drew Killiam at 182, and Shane Trimmingham at 195, all wrestling in the semifinals. That is at Petersburg Porta. Let's jump back to Carterville and get into the wrestlebacks here. Carter Powell is in a wrestleback for Litchfield at 113. Jake Eaglehoff for Carthenville in that wrestleback at 113. Curtis Segrest of Hillsboro in a wrestleback at 126. Nate Burns of Carthenville at 132. Chris Furlow for Hillsboro at 145. You have Chase Michaels for Carthenville at 152. Jonah Harkins of Hillsboro in a wrestleback at 160. Dylan Maxwell at 182. And then Chase Lawless is in a wrestleback at 285. And just to note, Anthony Inlow for Vandalia in the semifinals at 285. And Gavin Moser for the Vandals in the semis at 195. But Kyle, just anything there in the wrestlebacks involving Hillsboro and Litchfield that catches your eye?
Yeah, I think a lot of these guys have a chance to go on. And, I mean, you know, obviously whenever you lose, your next loss is your final one. So it's a challenge, but having watched Carter Powell and some of these guys over throughout the season, they absolutely have a chance to go on and make a state berth again. So also Vandalia is tough as always this year. Anthony Enlow is
a big man.
Yeah, he is. Very good at what he does. Yeah. So, you know, he has a shot at winning the state championship this year. No doubt. He won at Litchfield over the previous state championship, champion, from Lena Winslow, which he also did that last year. And then the guy from Lena Winslow ended up winning the state championship.
Ah.
So you never know. I mean, it's one of those deals that it could go either way, but he's definitely, a kid that has the potential to do big things in Champaign next week. So.
And of course, Vandalia will be in the dual team section. I guess that'd be the following week.
Yeah, I think the last time they didn't make it or didn't win a regional, I want to say like Eisenhower was in. I think it's something like 20 straight or something.
That's remarkable.
I'm not sure, but they're the gold standard, you know, whenever it comes to, I mean, they've especially in the South Central, but in this area, you know, pretty much, anything south, you know, they've made so many trips to state, you know, and I don't know as much about them, as I do my teams,
right.
But, I know that they have an excellent program and they do, and they'll be hosting the team sectional. They do an excellent job. it's unfortunate that they don't have the individual sectional this year, because they do an excellent job at that too.
Yeah, a wrestling school, to say the least. And when you have a program like that in your conference, it really forces everybody else to strive for that standard.
Yeah, and I know the last couple of years, Litchfield's had a handful of really good matches against Vandalia, and it's, you know, they've been challenged on that. So it's I think it makes you want to be better. So you know, it's the same way it's been with, you know, I mean, I think excellence breeds competitiveness. You've seen it in the girls' side this year with, you know, some of the girls' basketball teams, and volleyball too was extremely good. So it's, you know, I think it makes the other teams want to do better. I know that's true for Carlinville and Hillsboro and Litchfield too.
So good luck to our local wrestlers in the semifinals today. Will Carlisle of Litchfield at 120, Jake Heffley of Hillsboro at 138. Jefferson Thomas of Litchfield at 220, and Tristan Burns from Carlinville at 170. Karis, you mentioned the girls' basketball season for the South Central. Let's touch on that for just a brief moment. 6 20-win teams, and it was a bit unfortunate that three of them wound up in the Southwestern sectional, or Southwestern regional, excuse me. But for Hillsboro to go through that league this year undefeated, truly remarkable.
Yeah, it's impressive. You know, you would have had to, I don't know. It's just something that's a pretty special moment for them. You know, and it doesn't take anything away from what Greenville accomplished too. I mean, at the time they just ran into a Hillsboro team that couldn't miss.
Record in threes that night, right?
Yeah, 13 threes.
That's all it takes to beat Greenville.
Yeah. If you can hit 13 threes every
game,
you know, and force some turnovers and you know, maybe gets
a break or two,
a little bit lucky, you know, that's all it takes, you know, but, you know, I mean, Hillsboro was good this year. Greenville was good this year. Carlinville had an excellent team. Southwestern had a good program. Pena had a good program. Staunton had the best year that they've had in a long time. It was a fun time to be a basketball fan in the South Central Conference, especially on the girls' side. So,
and that's why this sectional next week is so intriguing, because you have Hillsboro on one side, you have Greenville on the other side, and Greenville has to be the favorite going in, just because they've only lost one game all year. But that one game was at Hillsboro, was to the Toppers, so that will be in the back of Greenville's mind as they enter sectional play on Monday night. But for Hillsboro, they are going to have their hands full with Pleasant Plains.
Yeah, they're Pleasant Plains is one of those schools that seems like they can be good at everything for a really long time. So it's pretty impressive what they've done just over, you know, a long period of time, and they've definitely earned their spot. They're 26-5, I believe, 25-6, something like that. So they're a really impressive program as well. I think it's just going to depend on who gets hot, who can, you know, Coach Deacon was talking about them, you know, Hillsboro refusing to lose. You know, they just kind of came out in the second half and, okay, we're not going to lose, you know, and it's whoever is able to do that the most successfully on Monday.
And for the Toppers, it always helps to have the best player on the floor.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt.
So useful.
She's pretty good.
Yeah, she's not bad.
Yeah,
she might have a future.
Yeah, she's Sammy Matusha is up over 2,700 points right now. So, which would, I mean, unofficially put her in the top 20 in the state all time. So,
I always joke with Teak before the ball game when I go to get a starter. So you starting that Matusha girl? Give her a chance, see what she can do. She's just so fun to watch. And this year she was always a great player and a complete player, but it seems like this year her defense intensity has picked up a little bit.
Yeah, and I think part of that, you know, she has always had the ability to kind of sneak in there and pick off a pass or pick somebody's pocket. Well, they have her kind of hovering around the middle. Then they got, you know, Jade Scroggins and Kylie Meyer and Aubrey Rupert and Emily Reynolds and some of those players at the front of the, you know, on the inbounds, and they're pressuring the ball handlers to make these kind of quasi bad passes. And you're just not going to get many of those past Sammy. So it's really, you know, I think she's benefiting from kind of the tip of the spear being extremely sharp too. So it turns into quick points.
Oh yeah, easy buckets. And one of the biggest differences probably from last year to this year is Jade Scroggins. She was injured last year.
Yeah, only played in 12 games last year. You know, she's been able to hit some big shots. She hit some big shots at the end of the first half of the Southwestern game to kind of pull them closer. I think they were only down what, 6 or something like that at the end of the first half. As opposed to 10, that's a pretty big swing, and picked up a steal right at the end too. That could have been more. So, she's had a good season. She signed to play basketball for Hannibal LaGrange too, university over in Missouri. So, it's been, you know, they've definitely, you know, Sammy's unreal, you know, I mean, and one of the best pure scorers, you know, I've seen in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
But it's definitely everybody kind of knows their role and does a really good job on Hillsboro. So,
Kyle Hushman, thanks for coming in this morning, joining us on Sports Saturday and getting us straightened out on the wrestling sectional action.
My pleasure. Always glad to talk about a sport that I know slightly more than you about.
See you Monday.
Sounds good.
All right. Hey, Sports Saturday back in a moment. We're going to catch up with Dave Kane and jump into boys basketball pairings following these messages on WSMI. Welcome back to WSMI Sports Saturday. Tim Mize, Terry Toad with you here on FM 106, getting ready to catch up with Dave Kane of the Springfield State Journal Register. And, of course, we thank Kyle Hushman from the Journal News in Hillsboro for stopping by and talking to us with us this morning about the high school wrestling sectionals. Dave is at the Riverton Shootout this morning, one of the great shootouts in the entire state. They are underway right now. New Berlin facing Lanark Eastland at 10:30. Seneca will take on Monmouth Roseville. Then at noon, Metro East Lutheran will face the third-ranked team in 1A, Kiwanis Wethersfield. At 1:30, St. Joe Ogden against Peoria Quest. At 3 o'clock, Williamsville will take on West Central, the fifth-ranked team in 1A. At 4:30, it'll be Pleasant Plains against Quincy Notre Dame. Then at 6 o'clock, Alton Marquette, the seventh-ranked team in 2A, will take on the host Hawks of Riverton. And the nightcap at 7:30 this evening has Cisna Park, the second-ranked team in 1A, facing Bloomington Central Catholic, the fifth-ranked team in 2A. And Dave Kane is joining us now on Sports Saturday. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, how are you, Tim?
Hey, doing very good, and you're going to have a full day of hoops over there at Riverton.
Yeah, it's already started. We're at halftime of the first game. New Berlin is leading Lanark Eastland 25-19 in the first game, and there's also some JV games going on across the way in the old gym here. So yeah, it's wall-to-wall basketball here today.
And this is a great in-season shootout, and they always get a number of state-ranked teams, and they've done it again this year.
Yeah. There's a total of eight varsity games here today. This is the first one. I guess there's, five teams that are ranked like in the top 10 of 1A or 2A. And then I think you got several others that are maybe, received votes, so to speak. It's a great event. And they wait until just a couple weeks before to actually do the pairings. They know the teams they're going to have, but they hold off to do the pairings to kind of, see how the teams are doing and, try to do the best matchups they can. So they really they do a great job here.
And as we found out yesterday, the postseason pairings have been released. And as we look at Riverton, which will be hosting a 2A sectional, the Williamsville Regional will be feeding into there. And the Williamsville Bullets, who you'll see at 3 o'clock this afternoon against West Central, they are the top seed in that subsectional, and they will host their own regionals. They will be a handful there.
Right. Williamsville they've had a very good season. They hit a little speed bump a couple of weeks ago. They had to play at a shootout up at Central Catholic in Bloomington, and it was they had bad weather and things were rescheduled, and they had to play like Central Catholic and QND like almost literally back to back, and they lost a couple games there, lost close games there, and they had some injuries, but by and large, Williamsville is, they're playing very well. They're right now they're still on top of the Sangamo Conference. They're the last team unbeaten. So they, uh, yeah, so they, you know, they're hosting their own regional. They'll be a strong favorite there to probably move on here to the Hawk Center at the section.
And then North Mac is in that Williamsville regional as well. And I saw last night Tanner Wilson scored 15 points for the Panthers. He had been dealing with a hip injury since Christmas. So hopefully Tanner Wilson for North Mac can get back operating at close to 100%.
Right. And, you know, obviously he's just, you know, among other things, he's a coach's son. And, you know, as they say, an extra coach on the floor, so to speak. He gives them just, even though he's fairly young, he gives them leadership and experience. You know, he kind of he's sort of the glue for that team. So yeah, let's hope he, you know, stays healthy the rest of the way to give them all the firepower that they can, come postseason time.
Pleasant Plains, of course, has another strong club this year. They are the 2 seed and the top seed over at the Pittsfield Regional, and that'll be a nice bus trip.
That is going to be a nice bus trip. I think ever since they went to 4 classes, this area up here with 2A teams, you know, it gets spread out a little more geographically. And I know Pittsfield has been one of those places that they've hosted regionals off and on over the years. That regional, I mean, I think Plains, you know, should be the favorite there, but you've got Plains, you've got Peter, you've got Porta, it's very strong, and you got Auburn is also there. And Auburn, of course, knocked off Porta last night, mm-hmm. but that's, you know, that particular regional at Pittsfield is a very strong group there. So that'll be a very entertaining tournament.
It certainly will be. And as far as the South Central Conference is concerned, they will be at the Southwestern Regional and the Carlisle Regional. And unfortunately for the South Central teams, Dave, Nashville's the top seed in the Carlisle Regional, and Alton Marquette is the top seed in the DeCoin Regional. So thanks for stopping by.
Well, as they say, on paper, it looks that way. Ironically, Marquette is here this evening at Riverton to play the Hawks in the, I think it's the next to last game at 6 o'clock, but yeah, I'm kind of anxious to see Marquette. They don't get up this way very often. So the one thing, and I maybe you guys have talked about that grouping of you know, for regionals and sectionals down in that area, I'm still trying to figure out why Hillsboro and Litchfield are in a group feeding into the DuCoin sectional when there is also a sectional at Vandalia. I mean, I know every year we have these little quirky geographical things, but that one, I'm really shaking my head about that one.
Yeah, that is curious. But like you said, there always seems to be one team or a group of teams that geographically gets placed in a spot that makes little to no sense, and that would certainly qualify for this year. In 1A,
yeah.
Dave, Nokomis not going to Edinburgh. They will be headed to Neoga for that regional tournament.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, yeah. I saw that they'll you know they you know they, obviously they're the top seed there. I think they get if I look at it right, they'll get either Arcola or Chrisman mm-hmm. in a semifinal. But then, assuming Nokomis does win that, there's a very good chance they would have to play the host team for a championship, and that's never easy. Neoga, I can remember it's been a number of years ago, but Nokomis and Neoga had a heck of a, maybe it was a sectional matchup at Shelbyville. But yeah, that you know, that won't be an easy assignment for the Redskins. And you know, I'm looking at another, the Edinburgh Regional. Our friends from Central A&M are the top dogs there, and they're likely to come out of that regional at Edinburgh. So who knows if things pan out right, you could see maybe another Nokomis Central A&M matchup. It would be at the Altamont sectional if things really worked out.
Yeah, and that would be the sectional final if it were to work out that way. And I was in Bethany earlier this week for a girls' regional play when Nokomis took on Central A&M, and talking to the Central A&M radio guys, they were talking about, you know, the Central A&M girls team this year, you know, not quite what they have been in years past, which that's understandable because a few years ago they were just ridiculously good. But they made the comment, mm-hmm. we have the same expectations for our boys' team this year that we had for the girls' teams there a couple years ago when they played in the state title game back-to-back years.
Yeah, yeah. I think Central A&M, there's just, you know, just their athletic programs in general. Ever since Mowiqua and Assumption consolidated quite a few years ago, there's just, you know, kind of high expectations for all of their teams, but especially boys and girls basketball. So, wouldn't be surprised to see the Raiders, you know, make runs on both sides.
Final thing for today, I want to talk about the girls sectional at Hillsborough. We've said before, we get a lot of Sangamo South Central playoff football games. Now we have two girls sectional semifinals involving the South Central and the Sangamo. That is a loaded sectional with three state-ranked teams and a very good Porta squad.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited about that. It was funny. I started to think to myself, boy, has Hillsborough ever hosted a girls sectional? I can never remember it. And Brett Deacon says to his knowledge, to his recollection, at least in recent history, this is the first time they've gotten to host a sectional. And, boy, they couldn't have timed it any better. Sammy Matouche, kind of rounding out her career, among other things, to play on that floor at least one more time. And I'm sure they're hoping two more times. But Pleasant Plains, they made it to a super sectional last year. They lost to Eureka. Just two really solid programs in that game. And then, Greenville, my goodness, one loss to at Hillsborough early in the season. And against Porta, Porta is having a heck of a year. They've been a little bit overshadowed up in this area because Pleasant Plains has been so good. But Porta, has a really solid team. They don't have a lot of size. They only have one senior. But they've had a great year. So I'm sure they're going to try to give Greenville everything they can. But that's going to be two really entertaining matchups on Monday night.
And for Plains, of course, I saw Caroline Giacchino win over 1,000 points a couple games ago. And obviously she's a dynamite player. If you were to try to draw some comparisons, if there is any, between her and Matouche, are there? Is there not? What do you think?
Well, I think Sammy, I think Sammy has a little bit more size. I think Sammy can, maybe post up a little more if need be. Giacchino's a very good athlete. She's a heck of a distance runner. She's a all-stater in cross country and, distance running and track. She's just a great athlete. But she's, kind of more of a perimeter player, a shooter out there. Whereas I think we've seen the two, at least potentially can work inside and outside a little more. But two very good athletes. Plains has another player named, her name is Aisha Smith, and she's only a sophomore. Last year as a freshman, she came off the bench and was one of their best players, really. This year she missed the first half of this season with a torn ACL from soccer, but she is back now. She's just a dynamic player. She can handle the ball. She's not real tall, but good ball handler, good passer, just good court sense. So she's kind of a, I don't want to say an X factor, but she's a extra weapon that's playing. She's just in a comfort zone coming off the bench, but I would be surprised if she doesn't have a significant role in that game Monday night.
Well, that's a quick turnaround from a torn ACL.
Yeah, well, it was in soccer. Yeah, she suffered it in soccer last spring. And I think she finally came back right around the holidays and just very slowly but surely has worked her way back in. And keep in mind, several of the Plains girls won a state volleyball title in November.
Right.
The big game, big, pressure atmosphere, a lot of them have gone through that already with that experience, and then some of them played on the super sectional basketball team last year. So having to play at Hillsborough, it's not going to be easy, but they are kind of used to these situations, so that could be something in Plains' favor.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun come Monday night. David, sounds like the game has resumed, so we'll let you get back to that. Thanks for joining us this morning on Sports Saturday.
Hey, yeah, thank you. New Berlin's up 28-25 midway third quarter, but great to talk to you guys.
All right, thank you very much. Dave Kane with the Springfield State Journal Register. He is the best. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with Hillsborough Hilltopper head coach Brett Deacon following these messages on WSMI.
Now back to WSMI's Tim Mize and Sports Saturday.
Thank you very much, Tito. And we're going to have Brett Deacon on the program in just one moment here. While we have a second, in Class 1A, boys regional play at New Berlin. Lincoln Wood is the 9 seed. They will play on the 18th of February against North Green. And then you have in the semifinal, or the other quarterfinal games there, New Berlin against Jacksonville ISD. That's a 6 o'clock game on the 19th, South County and Pawnee at 7:30 on the 19th. And the Calhoun Regional, Bunker Hill will play Brussels at 7 o'clock on Monday the 18th. And then Calhoun will face Father McGivney on Tuesday the 19th. Metro East Lutheran takes on Mount Olive on Tuesday the 19th at 7:30. Madison, the top seed there at the Calhoun Regional. And joining us on the phone right now is Hillsborough Lady Hilltopper head coach Brett Teakin. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Well, I asked you after the game on Thursday if you'd caught your breath yet. I imagine you have by now.
Yeah, I've been able to catch my breath and watch a boys game last night, relax a little bit. So, I have.
That was an intense atmosphere, and I know that going into the regional, you were a little bit concerned about potentially having to play Southwestern the second time in a week on your home floor. And boy, in that first half, they showed exactly why you were concerned.
Yeah, they came out just shooting on fire. They just seemed to couldn't miss and got out to a lead on us and just kind of punched us in the mouth right to start. And we had to regroup and get it going a little bit later on.
You know, Teak, in the schedule that you put your girls through in the regular season, that's why you do it, for atmospheres and situations like that regional championship.
Yeah, players have to realize in pretty much any game they're going to go through a time period of adversity where the other team's just going to get on a roll. And I had a reporter, maybe you asked me, there was never really any panic. The girls just knew they had to dig in a little bit harder and play a little bit tougher and get some stops, and we were able to do that a little bit later on.
One thing that I think you are very good at, Teak, is the fact that you're able to make adjustments at halftime. And you know, it's the second half of the game that's the money part of the ball game. And not panicking, coming out, making maybe a couple of little tweaks, that really put the Lady Toppers back on the path.
Yeah, we felt like if we were able to press them a little bit and we could force some turnovers that way. And like I said, at halftime, we were kind of forcing some shots early in our possessions, and we needed to get a little bit better shots because it's really kind of tough to set up a press if you don't score. And then as we got to score a little bit more in the third quarter, we were able to get our press going a little bit, and it did give them a lot of problems.
Teak, how important has having Jade Scroggins for the full year been to you this season?
She has brought another aspect of scoring ability for us. She's scored double figures here late in the year. She's really been shooting the ball pretty well. Defensively, she gives us another quick guard out there to put pressure on, probably our best on the ball defender. And she takes care of the ball pretty well and shoots pretty well. So it's really been nice to have her back this year.
And you have that nice rotation of interior players where you never really know game to game who's going to get those big minutes. It just depends how they play to start the game.
No, we've had three different players start at the post for us, in Macy Blankenship, a junior, and two sophomores, and Claire Tester and Nikaya Harston. And in the first half, generally, I rotate them in and out, and we'll see who's giving us the most. And Thursday night, Claire was playing great, and played most of the second half for us.
And Teak, from a coaching perspective, you've been doing this such a long time now that it really has to make you happy and proud when you see a kid like Claire Tester step up in a spot like that. You guys needed her in that first half, especially.
Yeah, we were struggling a little bit, and she didn't score a lot for us or anything, but she just brought another energy level that just kind of boosted everybody else a little bit. She got some rebounds for us, played good well defensively, and sometimes you just need a spark, and I thought Thursday night Claire provided that spark.
And then in the second half, it was Sammy time.
Yeah, Sammy, I heard Dave talk a little while ago that she can play inside and out. We try to utilize that as much as we can because you don't want to just go one place with her because she's a threat from the perimeter. She can be a threat inside, so you try to kind of move around a little bit stuff and utilize it all. And she, and then if you foul her, it's 2 points because she's an 85% free throw shooter. So, she just pretty much took over in the second half then.
Dave, Teak, do you have an idea or a feel for what you think Plains might try to do defensively with her. How do you approach that game to game? Because I remember you said earlier in the year, we've seen all the different defenses that you can play in the game of basketball on Sammy. So when you go into a game, do you have a rough idea, or just once the game starts, do you kind of have to adjust on the fly to what you're seeing?
It'll depend a lot of times. I mean, with teams like conference teams and stuff, and you know the coaches, you got a little bit of an idea what they might do. But whenever you're going into somebody you really have never faced before or anything, not exactly sure, but I don't know if there's something that somebody can do that we haven't seen.
Yeah. And I guess that is a good spot to be in because, if the defense can be played, you've probably seen it with Sammy Matouche at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen diamond and ones, we've seen boxing ones, we've seen double downs and traps and everything. And Sammy, throughout her career, has learned how to handle those things a lot better than she used to. It used to be a lot of times she would just go ahead and force it anyway. And now she recognizes, sees it, and finds the open person.
And when we get to that game on Monday night, obviously it's going to be a big-time atmosphere. But being on your home floor, I remember talking to Kylie Meyer after the game. She was looking forward to getting back on her home floor and her home rims.
Yeah, it was something whenever Coach Vanzo told us earlier in the year that, you're hosting, but it's a sectional, not a regional. It was kind of like, okay, well, that's I hopefully great, but we got to make sure we get through regionals and get an opportunity to take advantage of it. So now we're in that position and we're looking forward to it.
So what will be the few things you will really focus on with Pleasant Plains come Monday night?
They are a very balanced team. They've got four or five girls that can all shoot it from the perimeter. We're really going to have to defensively be very sound. They're a very patient team, and we're going to have to be ready to play defense possibly for an extended period of time. And those are the things that I'm kind of stressing and looking at as we're preparing for them.
And that's what kids love to do, play defense for 2 to 3 minutes at a stretch.
Yeah, they do.
T, congratulations on the regional championship, and we'll see you Monday night, sir.
All right, thank you. We'll see you there.
Brett Teek and the head coach of the Hillsboro Lady Hilltoppers, they will take on Pleasant Plains, two state-ranked teams. The Toppers ranked 9th, Plains ranked 10th. 6 o'clock tip, that is the first semifinal. We'll be on the air right around 5:50 come Monday night here on FM 106. The second semifinal also Monday night. Greenville, the second-ranked team in the state, will face Porta. And, Terry, that Hillsboro Plains game, that has all the makings.
Well, and historically speaking, and let me go back about 20 years or so, and the second trip for Nokomis to the state tournament back in 99, from the regional championship on, they played ranked teams.
Remarkable.
In the state. And, here's what the Hilltoppers are up against, and the Comets are up against. They're playing ranked teams here from here on. So you've got a major, big-time, sectional going on at Hillsboro, and if you want to see some terrific basketball and hard-nosed basketball, get to Hillsboro on Monday. And
might be the top sectional in the state.
I tell you what, you certainly have to put it within the top one or two. It's going to be that good. And as Teek said, when Coach Vanzo announced to them that they got the sectional, I know Coach Vanzo was pretty excited.
Yeah.
Because he thought there was really a pretty good chance that the Toppers could be playing on their home floor in the sectional, and that's how it's turned out. So, and it's amazing we still have three South Central Conference teams alive and well in postseason play.
Yeah, a year where they had 6 20-win teams, they have 3 regional champions.
Unbelievable.
It's going to be a lot of fun on Monday night. Hillsboro and Plains live coverage in front of 6 o'clock here on FM 106. Fighting Illini basketball this afternoon, 2 o'clock. They're hosting Rutgers live on 105.3 The Ox. Tito, take us home.
That's going to do it for Sports Saturday. Hope you enjoyed the program. Thanks to all of our special guests this week. And get out there and enjoy high school basketball next week. And, of course, boys regionals beginning in about a week or so. You're listening to WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000 watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. Have a terrific sporting weekend.